Yet failure is a universal experience. Some of the greatest people in history have had their life checkered with failure. Albert Einstein failed math in school. He is best known for developing the theory of relativity. But he's also made important contributions to the development of the theory of quantum mechanics. Josephine Baker failed in her singing career in America before going to Paris and becoming a world-renowned singer. Walt Disney was fired because of a lack of creativity, only to become the greatest graphic artist in history. Edison was famous for never giving up in search for the construction of the electric light bulb. Without his
But when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning audibly. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. Selah. Some hot summers. I acknowledge my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Selah. Contemplate it. We all fail. We just hate admitting our failures. But it is the first and crucial step in failing forward. People fail in direct proportion to the excuses they make for failure. Excuses are the exit ramp off the highway of life, and every time you take one, you begin to fail in making progress. The hymnist Robert Robinson wrote, "Prone to wonder, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, O take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. Here's my heart, O take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above." Honestly, go before the Lord. Get real with the Lord, as we say. Come clean with God. Confess, repent of those spiritual and moral failures. Romans 3:23 says, "All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." All have sinned. All is the word inclusive. Jew and Gentile, male and female. It includes all believers and non-believers. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. James 3:2 says, "For we all stumble in many ways. And if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect or complete man, able also to bridle his whole body." Do you know? A complete man. No, I'm not that man. All stumble. Beloved, realizing you are not alone can help you to honestly and truthfully face your failures. Second response to dealing with failure is to invite, that's the word, invite God into your failures. Do you think God is surprised by your failings? Do you think God sees your failing and says, "Oh my God, I didn't know he was going to do it"? Of course God sees and knows about our failures, and yet so often God is the last person we turn to. Paul wants the church in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12, he says, "Therefore, let every one of you, or any one of you who thinks he stands, take heed, lest he fall." In Joshua chapter 7, Joshua sends his army against the city of Ai. And because they had recently routed the local enemies in that territory, the Israelites underestimated Ai and were completely defeated. They fell because sin was found in the camp. It was a moral and spiritual failure. And there was also a great loss of life. In response, Joshua, in chapter 7, verse 6 through 8, Joshua falls on his face before God, along with the elders, and cries out before God in front of the Ark of the Covenant, before the presence of God. And doing so, Joshua invites God into the midst of his failures. So often when we fail, we turn to a spouse, a friend, a co-worker, a relative, and when the person we need to turn to the most and turn to first is our God. Joshua chapter 7, beginning at verse 6. If you dare say amen. Then Joshua tore his clothes, fell to the earth on his face before the ark of the Lord until the evening. He and the elders of Israel, and they put dust on their heads. And Joshua said, "Alas, O Lord God, why have you brought this people over the Jordan at all? To give us into the hands of the Amorites? To destroy us? With that we had been content to dwell beyond the Jordan. O Lord, what can I say? When Israel has turned their backs before their enemies." Listen to this. In the middle of his failure, he was seeking God's wisdom. But in his seeking of God's wisdom, he responded the wrong way. Number one, the place where you're at is your inheritance. The place where you're standing beyond the Jordan is where God promised Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The place where you're at is what was purposed for you. That's one thing he got wrong. But still, this is what he did. In the midst of that, he was seeking God for wisdom. He said, "God, you could have kept us over there. We would have been content. We would have been satisfied without fully living up to you in you. We would have been satisfied with not actualizing the eternal promises that you've given to our forefathers." That's what he was saying. In the middle of his failure, he was seeking God's wisdom. And when you pray, you may seek God's wisdom, but you may speak to God the wrong way. Still pray. Because the problem we're going to find out was not prayer, it was sin. See, instead of praying, "My God," which he did, he should have been praying, "What God? What's next, God? What are you teaching us by this failure, God? What are you proving in us by this failure? What are you qualifying us for in this failure, God? What can I learn right now from it, God? What can you teach me now about this failure?" Remember, God does not seek success from his people. Only faithfulness. That's what he seeks. You seek success. The world seeks success. God seeks faithfulness. And when we turn to God, we draw upon the power of the resurrection to overcome failure so that it doesn't become a stumbling block, but a stepping stone. James said it this way, James 1:5. He says, "Now if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask of God, who gives to all generously and ungrudgingly, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith without doubting. For the doubter is like the surging sea driven and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord." The double-minded person. The person doesn't go to God in faith. He says, being double-minded and unstable in all his ways. He's double-souled. He's split personality. Come on, somebody. What did he say, do? He said, ask God for wisdom. Why? Because in your failures, God's wisdom is needed. Ask in faith. Why? Because asking God for wisdom without faith fails. In the middle of your mess or your misery, learn to seek the wisdom of God in faith. And God will generously, freely give us what we lack in the middle of our failures. That's the first lesson. Second lesson. You cannot, here's the word, sin and win with God. You cannot sin and win with God. Look at verse 10 and 11. Joshua 7. Oh, what a powerful passage. Wish I had more time to unpack it. But verse 10 says, "The Lord said to Joshua, stand up. Why are you down there on your face? What are you doing? Your problem is not prayer. Your problem is unconfronted sin. It's the sin in the camp that's the issue. Get off your knees." Have you ever known God to tell you to get up and stop praying and start doing what you need to do? Oh my goodness. That's a powerful message. And too often we allow our past failures to define our future. Everyone fails. What we need to remember is that we do not have to stay down. Oliver Goldsmith states, our greatest glory is not in never failing, but in rising each time we fall. Our greatest glory is not in never failing, but in rising each time when we fall. You may not be able to reclaim the loss of your failure, undo the damage, reverse the consequences, but you can make a mistake. You, by being wiser, more sensitive, renewed by the Holy Spirit, and more determined to be faithful. People who fail forward look to the future rather than the past. Paul puts it this way in Philippians 3:13. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do. It was a single-minded person. Single-minded purpose. He says, forgetting what is behind and reaching forward to what is ahead. When we do, failure is not an ending, but a beginning. So resolve each day and each moment to move forward in the power of the Holy Spirit. James Fallis tells of being 7 years old, with his toes curled tightly on the edge of a diving board, in the refreshing blue water 12 feet below. He found himself for the very first time on a high diving board, with friends cheering below, which seemed more like a mile away than 12 feet. He was faced with a decision that one step forward would bring great accomplishment, pride, and acceptance, or one step backward would bring great failure, embarrassment, and ridicule. Those who fail forward resolve to step forward. And then he says the most profound words ever spoken. He came to the platform at a graduation, college graduation, and as he received his degree, he heard these words: "Keep moving. You're not finished. You haven't really achieved nothing. Keep moving. Because as you move forward, there's going to be more opportunities for failure, but you got to keep moving." May I encourage you this morning? Whatever type of failure you're dealing with presently, if it's a moral failure,